So the question is, now I ask Melissa to take, as trustee of her trust, to put it into a limited partnership over which I am the general partner. And so all she has is a limited partnership interest in her trust, and I really have control. Wow, that's a really interesting question, and I'm going to come back to that when we get to our discussions on some of these FLP cases. That was a
Stanley Johansson answer.
That was a kick the can down the road answer. We'll come back to it. Let's.
You want to talk about 2519 or?
Yeah, so let's talk briefly about 2519.
So it may be, I call these, it's probably tacky, I call them meaningful gifts, because giving $2 or $3 million is not meaningful, really, kidding. But that's the key here. You know, if clients come in and say, well, gosh, I want to be able to use that exclusion amount and such, and I'm like, well, if you want to give $2 million, you can do that next year. You know, it's right. It's the excess over that we're trying to capture, as Steve was talking about. And so when they're looking around at their assets, one of the things is, and I'm not sure where it is in the paper on 2519, and so commutations of that Q-tip. They may just that, so we've got a surviving spouse, beneficiary of a Q-tip, and maybe they want to see about using that to make the gift happen. And how do they do that? So commutation, what is that? It's substituting one thing for another. That's the basic definition of what a commutation is. 2519
says, page 93 discusses this.
Okay. And so this says, if 2519 says, if you dispose of all or any part of the qualifying income interest in a Q-tip trust, I'm paraphrasing sort of, then that's deemed to be a transfer, a commutation, if you will, of the trust or the rest of the trust. And think of it as saying the remainder of the trust. And then you look at how that's where 2519 gets triggered. And then you look at how is that qualifying income interest transferred? Is it a gift? If so, then you look at how that's treated under 2511. So you have to kind of use those two sections with each other. But the key about it is, depending on how the transfer happens, you can have a surviving spouse give away a 1% interest of that Q-tip trust. That's deemed to be a gift of the entire Q-tip,
remainder.
Yeah.
So she's made a 1% gift of her income interest. She keeps the 99%. And so for gift tax purposes, she reports a gift of that 1% interest. You actuarially value it. Then
2702 can come in and say, right. It's all of it. It's
2519 says, when you do that, you also make a gift of the entire remainder interest in the trust. Well, she's made a really big gift for tax purposes, but she really hasn't parted with very much from an income standpoint.
Right. So that's that give it away, transfer it away, but I'm going to keep getting something back. I'm going to keep getting that income coming back in.
Let me talk very briefly about my client who says, well, I want to give away $11 million, $11.7 million. I want to give it $11,715 because there's an annual exclusion in there. I want to push this to the envelope, and I'm giving away FLP interests, which, of course, are notoriously difficult to value. And, in fact, I need to make the gift in December of 2021. I'm not actually sure what the value is going to be until next May when my appraiser gets the numbers back. How do I make sure that happens? Can I just say I give away a 49% interest in my LP and then I tell my appraiser, by the way, you have to value that at $11.7 million?
Yeah, very difficult issue that we face as a practical matter just all the time in transfer planning. We will talk this afternoon some about the Smaldino case, and that's actually what was done in that case. They decided in April they wanted to make gifts. They hired an appraiser. The appraiser took till August, which is not unusual, to come up with a number. And the way they approached it in that case, Mickey, was in August, once they had the number, they signed a document effective as of April, undated document, 4 months earlier. I would not recommend that as the approach.
Smaldino is a train wreck.
That would be unusual. But things that we could do. I know John Porter will discuss defined value clauses. One alternative would be to make a transfer of that many FLP units equal to $11.715 million. as finally determined for estate and gift tax purposes. So once we finally get through the estate and gift tax audit, go through a court case, if it goes to that, we know what the value per unit is, and then that tells us we transferred just that many units equal to that dollar amount. Question there is, will the IRS respect that sort of clause or not? And this Wandry case came up, was it 10 years ago or so now? Yeah. And I think it's there long enough that it's not viewed as just ultra abusive. My guess is it helps a lot in litigation situations. And I think that's what John Porter will tell us this afternoon. So that's one approach.
And you know, frankly, I have no problem making that argument, you know, to a judge who's old enough to remember full-service gas stations. You pull into the gas station and say, give me $20 worth of gas. How can the attendant say, I don't know how much that is? Or we don't know how much that is until I squeeze the handle on the pump. Well, valuation gifts or valuation transfers happen all the time. I just don't think it's abusive.
Especially if you're specific, if you say what you're using it for, what the purpose of the the transfer
valued
is.
Valued in this manner, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that, but my guess is if we had IRS agents in the room, they may not agree with us.
True.
On that. And so just realize that is an issue that has some possible contention. Another approach would be to contact an appraiser to tell the difficulty with this is a chicken and the egg issue, that the adequate disclosure regulations under the gift tax rules.